Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live. Welcome to the program here. You can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Phones are open here. And we've been following this banking situation since the end of last week with the Silicon Valley Bank crashing and failing completely.
I feel like I've been watching this bank situation through most of my adult life.
Yeah, but
it's just taking on a different form at the moment.
Yeah,
I've never even heard of Silicon Valley, but I had never heard of Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. Well, I was like 11 when that happened, but still.
It's getting a little more dramatic now with the banks actually failing and customers actually lining up outside and
they
run on the bank.
Silvergate at first, and that's what surprised me about this, because Silvergate's failure was supposedly being so linked to cryptocurrency.
Yeah, Silvergate was a crypto-friendly bank that existed in California, that they were doing business with a lot of crypto exchanges, including FTX. And so when FTX went under in November of last year, Silvergate was sort of part of the fallout of FTX, and it started losing customers because I'm not sure exactly what was going on behind the scenes, but some of the other exchanges said, well, we're out, and then they left the Silvergate Bank, and just, everything just started going bad with them, and they, quote-unquote, voluntarily closed 2 weeks ago or something like that. And then last week it was Silicon Valley Bank that did not voluntarily close, but they had a huge run on their bank. And what we learned over the weekend was that there was something where they, I think it was all about the interest rates on these treasury bonds, as I understand it. So, and okay, I'm not a financial expert. I'm going to try my best to recount this. But basically what had happened was, they had, you know, banks take customer money and they invest it, right? Like, that's part of the thing that they do. They don't actually sit
that's
it in a ball.
That's what FTX did.
That's what FTX did. Although the FTX wasn't telling customers that it was doing that. Banks probably tell you in their terms of service that that's
what they're
doing. And so they try to make a return so they can pay their employees and their stockholders and all that, and ultimately give you a very small, crappy return on your bank account as well, you know, 0.001% or whatever it is these days.
It's such a minuscule amount that I frequently forget that banks even have interest rates on checking and savings accounts.
Yeah, it's pathetic these days. So
I don't know who we are, Ian.
Yeah, we didn't get to that point. It's Ian here.
And Bonnie.
And Aria.
So we didn't. Or that what they did, apparently, was they did, like, standard kind of what are considered conservative investments. So they weren't doing, like, crazy stuff like FTX was.
Silicon Valley Bank was?
Silicon Valley Bank. They were just doing, like, standard conservative, you know, they're buying treasury bonds and stuff like that.
That's as conservative as you get, because the yield on those is negligible.
Well, that's what changed.
Super safe as long as the government exists.
Right. But that's what changed. They were also getting the mortgage-backed securities, which were a problem back in 2008, if you recall.
I do not recall.
I couldn't tell you what a mortgage-backed security is, but that was one of the things that led to problems in 2008. And so then what happened was these banks, and it's not just Silicon Valley Bank, they're just the first one that failed. So others could be coming next.
I hope they will be.
So they put in billions of dollars into these supposedly conservative investments. And then the Federal Reserve, you probably heard last year, was raising interest rates, and they said that it's to, quote-unquote, fight inflation.
But it was against the advice of, like, anyone who knows anything about economics and isn't an Austrian.
Right. They did a 1,700% interest rate raise in the period of 1 year, which is like
the most
in, if not a long time, if not ever. It's been a, you know, it was a lot.
1,700% increase within a year.
Right. And so what that did was, not only did it make it harder for banks to issue loans because people are less likely to take out a loan at a higher interest rate. That's how it supposedly, quote unquote, controls inflation. It controls inflation not from the printing press and the Federal Reserve, but it controls it in that banks aren't inflating the money supply by issuing as many loans.
Right, and it also doesn't work. It doesn't lower inflation or the amount of currency out there. It just reduces the rate at which inflation is increasing.
I think that's correct. So then also at the same time, because the Fed's interest rates were going up, the Treasury rates also were going up. So what was a negligible rate became not bad. And what turned out was that the rate that Silicon Valley Bank was offering its customers ended up being a third of what they could get over at the Treasury.
Okay.
So the Treasury rates got much better because of the constant interest rate hiking. So what you ended up happening was these companies, these Silicon Valley companies with billions or hundreds of millions or whatever of dollars in this bank, they pulled their money out. They said, well, why do we want to take 1.6% when we could get 5%
right
over here? And so
why
said,
didn't Silicon Valley just update their rates?
Because they were locked in. So Silicon Valley had to sell billions. They had to, like, take a penalty to unlock the thing, you know, whatever deal that they'd had.
Sure, but it's still worth it if you're going to make, you know, 3.5% more.
But it still wasn't enough to get enough customer funds out. There was a $45 billion run on this bank in 24 hours.
Woo! Sucks for them.
They couldn't do it.
And this is why cryptocurrency is so superior, because you can't have a run on cryptocurrency. These sorts of things can't happen. The cryptocurrency that you have in your wallet is not being loaned out to other people. It is always yours.
As long as it's in your wallet. There are things like decentralized finance where you can actually authorize your crypto to be loaned out to people, and you get a return on that if you do it. And a much better return in many cases than bank accounts, by the way, because these smart contracts have zero overhead for the most part. I mean, once they're written and they're audited and there's no bugs in the smart contract, because if there's a bug, then there could be a serious problem. So, I mean, it's not without risk. But
nothing is.
Right. As the banks are proving right now, a lot of people think banks are safe, but they are not. Now, that's what Joe Biden came out today, and he gave a speech saying that the banking system is safe, so you know you can trust it.
Well, that just means that we're on the verge of collapse.
Right?
Well, if the president comes out there to say, hey, guys, don't worry, everything is fine, the banking system, you know, the one that the libertarians have been railing against for the last forever, and where they really escalated railing against for the last several years, those guys, they're doing just fine. The libertarians who have been right over and over and over and over, they're not right this
time.
Yeah. They're wrong.
We'll get a little deeper into what happened. So that was just a recap of Silicon Valley Bank, which, again, there was a $45 billion run apparently on that bank in 24 hours. They couldn't handle the withdrawals. People were lining up outside. The bank called the police on their own customers in Manhattan. Cops ended up leaving because there was no one doing anything illegal. And then the federal government.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and then the federal government came in and seized the operations, along with the California Department of whatever banking bureaucracy.
This is going to get worse, people. I hate to say it, but
it already has.
Yeah, get ahead of this as much as you can and withdraw your money now.
The news was over the weekend, actually. We figured it was going to be Monday before we heard about another bank failure, but the feds came in and they shut down Signature Bank out of New York City. Over the weekend, on Sunday, they seized Signature
Bank. That's unusual. Is it because of a run on them?
Well, we can get into that one coming up here in a moment. But let's go to our very own Mark Edge on the line here. Mark, you're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Well, I read Political.com, and it says here that Barney Frank blames crypto panic for his bank's collapse, and Elizabeth Warren blames Trump.
Wow. I can't believe she's not blaming crypto.
And then it has a picture of Elizabeth Warren that looks like she's some crazy person.
Well, if the shoe fits.
Yeah, Barney Frank was apparently on like the board of directors of Signature Bank, and he did admit that this may be something about crypto, like that the feds or the regulators are targeting banks specifically that are involved with crypto, because Signature Bank had accounts for exchanges. Silvergate, which failed a couple weeks ago, also was a crypto-friendly bank, and
but the federal government didn't target Silvergate. Silvergate.
No.
Silvergate had too much money tied to FTX, and like all banks, they were loaning out money, and I think they had something like $100 billion of FTX's money that they effectively had loaned out. And then people
but they
said,
only failed last night?
No, they failed a few weeks ago.
Oh.
But then people came around and said, hey, we want to withdraw our money back because, you know, we saw this stuff with FTX going on, and you seem to have a $100 billion shortfall, so we'd like our money. And they didn't have everyone's money because they had got it from FTX, who it turns out had loaned all their money to other people.
Well, the theory about FTX was that it was a federal government plot from the word go.
That's right.
Go ahead, Mark.
Terribly sorry, I'm being interrupted by a young man.
Okay. It's not impossible.
It says here that Frank has kind of switched sides, right? Like, so previously he was, you know, the Dodd-Frank guy. But in 2010, when he's no longer in office, he starts going and working for the other side of the street. And he's working in these banks and trying to get the rules that he put in place lucid.
Now, who is this Dodd-Frank guy? Because I've heard the name before.
Barney Frank. He's a former, I think, U.S. senator.
Oh, so this is not Dodd-Frank.
Representative? Okay. Yeah, no, he was the guy behind that.
Okay. So is Dodd the last name of someone else?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Representative Dodd.
Sure. So, I mean, that's not terribly surprising. No. I mean, a lot of the people who created these vast, labyrinthine laws ultimately regret it and want to see it undone because they realize they're stifling the economy.
He said the regulators, this is a quote from Frank.
I think he's the only one who understands it. So they're hiring somebody who understands it to undo the crap that they did.
He said
he knew that was going to happen.
He said at conference on Monday, Frank said, he said the regulators, quote, wanted to send a message to get people away from crypto. We were singled out to be the poster child for that message, he said, about Signature Bank.
I mean, as evil as the government is, and they are absolutely going after cryptocurrency. The fact that I'm awaiting sentencing, you're awaiting sentencing, the FTX thing happened, they're absolutely going after cryptocurrency. But I just think it's tinfoil hat to suggest that these two things are somewhat related.
It's awfully coincidental that the two of the largest crypto sort of centric or crypto friendly banks in the United States are now out of business.
Well, what about Silicon Valley Bank? Are they?
I don't know if they were considered crypto friendly, but certainly they were VC friendly and tech friendly or whatever. But and I don't know. Maybe there are some crypto accounts that they have too. I honestly have not heard about that. But I know for a fact that Signature Bank and Silvergate were definitely like crypto friendly banks, and they're gone now. Signature. All of them start with SI, by the way. Which
is
really
that's
weird.
What I kept getting confused about. Signature failed last night. Well, it got like raided last night.
Signature is being handed over apparently to the feds, and they may end up getting bought out. And also the other thing we need to talk about here is what's happening with the deposits, because this is the other big development. I don't know, Mark, how close you've been following this situation out there, but the big news is the Federal Reserve announced again over the weekend. So bankers meeting on the weekend, you can tell these people are like freaking out about what to do here.
Yeah.
Normally bankers don't work during the weekend.
They work during the week.
Yeah, they put this notice out talking about what they're going to do regarding the accounts, because we know the FDIC is designed to cover accounts that have less than $250,000 in them. If you have more than $250,000 in them, sorry. Normally, when a bank fails, you are SOL for the most part. If the bank ends up being absorbed or sold, then you might end up seeing your account. You might end up seeing the balance or a slightly lower balance or a larger, a much lower balance. So it is possible that some of these depositors under normal bank acquisition circumstances could actually see some money. Maybe it'd be 50%.
Right.
Which is still going to be devastating, but not as bad as zero.
And that $250,000 FDIC guarantee, that's up from it was written to
be
$100,000, but I think it was 2007.
I feel like it was more recent than that, but I could be wrong.
I didn't remember. It was COVID-19 maybe, or it was the Great Recession that caused them to say, okay, we're going to insure this for even more.
But anyway, what they decided to do here was they had made an announcement that they are going to back all of the depositors in both the banks. So in Signature Bank that just failed and in Silicon Valley Bank, which I believe had like $200 billion of customer monies in it when it failed,
See, it's causing me to put on a tinfoil hat because now I'm thinking maybe they're right. Maybe they are targeting cryptocurrency and the crypto-friendly banks. And what they're trying to do here is show, hey, look, all these banks out there, they're bad. They're evil. They're going to collapse. Trust us. We're the government. We will guarantee your money. Just bank with us. And, oh, look, we'll release this central bank digital currency, and then you can bank directly with us. You can cut out these middlemen that just can't be trusted.
That is an interesting theory, and it's not the first time I've heard it in the last 48 hours, that this is going to be the first reason that they're going to give people to move over to the central bank digital currency, which they don't have in their back pocket right now.
But they've admitted.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess you could be right
about
that.
How hard would it be?
Well, they're in the process of developing it as we speak, but it has never been actually approved by the federal government, so it still has some steps, some hoops to jump through.
The answer to that, Bonnie, is that the FBI, for more than 10 years, couldn't implement email.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's true. But they got, you know, who was it? MIT, I think, was working on this. They have some sort of code that they've been auditing, and they're working on it, okay? The CBDC isn't. I don't think it's right around the corner, but certainly this could be a chink in the armor of the banks, and it could be, and especially if this gets worse, if the contagion spreads, as they're saying.
Doesn't it always get worse?
Well, Signature Bank is evidence that it has already gotten worse, right? Like, they didn't stop it at Silicon Valley Bank, and they think this is going to stop it. They think that by announcing that, well, everybody's going to be backed up. So even if you had $1 billion in Silicon Valley Bank, they're saying that is going to be covered. You're going
to
get the full amount. The government, the Federal Reserve is saying that's going to be covered.
Trust government. We will keep you safe. We will guarantee your income, your money, your lifeblood. We will guarantee it.
So this
be
was
thankful for your God.
Well, it's not too hard for them to guarantee this. They can guarantee it.
And
I mean,
they just add a zero.
Give it to you.
Oh, but that's the thing. They claim that they're not going to be printing money to do this. They claim, and this is kind of the interesting twist to this, because those of us who are looking at this were saying, well, if they are going to do a bailout, they're going to have to print money. But they seem to have found another way around it. And so here's an excerpt from their press release. After receiving a recommendation from the boards of the FDIC and the Federal Reserve and consulting with the President, Secretary Yellen approved actions enabling the FDIC to complete its resolution of Silicon Valley Bank in a manner that fully protects all depositors. Depositors will have access to all of their money starting today, Monday, March 13th. No losses associated with the resolution of Silicon Valley Bank will be borne by the taxpayer. So how are they doing it?
That's impossible. That is literally impossible for that statement to be true. Either because they already printed this money and caused inflation, or because they're going to increase taxes, or because they're going to have to print more money to pay for this money. Maybe they're not printing these exact dollars, but they're going to have to print money in the future because now they don't have these $50 billion or whatever.
Whatever you just read didn't explain to me at all how they're going to do this.
That's in the
following
paragraph.
They're just going to put it in bank accounts. They're just going to put numbers in bank accounts because that's
well, that
the other way to print.
That would be printing money. So here's the way they claim it's going to be done. They said, we're also announcing a similar systemic risk exception for Signature Bank in New York. So they're saying they're doing the same thing for both of these banks. Signature Bank had like $88 billion in customer deposits. So the total between these two banks is nearly $300 billion. If you want to, you can go to the FDIC's website, and you can look at a chart that shows how much money they have in what is called the Deposit Insurance Fund. So you can look for Deposit Insurance Fund, and you can find out what the amount is. When I looked at this chart, it was about $128 billion. So not even half of the amount that they would need to cover all customer funds in both of these banks. So what are they going to do? Once again, they claim that no losses will be borne by the taxpayer. Shareholders and certain unsecured debt holders will not be protected. So anybody with shares in any of these banks, they're going to zero. You got nothing. Senior management has been removed. Any losses to the deposit insurance fund to support uninsured depositors will be recovered by a special assessment on banks, as required by law.
So wait, what do you mean shared bank accounts will lose everything?
They're shareholders.
Shareholders. Oh. So people that have stock in these banks, they're done. They got zero. Their stocks have gone to zero.
They should have invested money and ownership into a bank in the first place. How dirty do you have to feel to partially own a bank?
Mm-hmm. So that's the answer. A so-called special...
I think that could be useful in a crypto future. We need secure ways to hold money.
They're called wallets.
If I shoot you in your big toe and then tell you I'm going to shoot you in your ankle if you don't give me your private key, I'll bet you you give it to me. They call it I think they call that the rusty wrench method. And you need a place where your stuff is secured that you can't get to in the middle of the night when somebody might come to your house. You don't want to keep all your money at your house. It's a terrible idea.
So don't have the wallet information in your head. Have it hidden with a friend.
We could do that.
Yeah.
But banks are, but some people don't want to give things to, some people are too much a jerk to give things to their friends.
I would trust my friends before I trust the banks.
Well, look, I don't disagree that Mark is right. There are people that want to have a vault. They want to have a secure place to go to, whether that would be called a bank or something else. Like, I would like to give the example of the UPMA, which is the United Precious Metals Association. Now, this is not a bank. If you call yourself a bank, then they're going to raid you, right? Like, you're going to get arrested, and if you haven't gone through whatever legal process. So UPMA is an association. It is a members association. And these members come together and they vault their gold and their silver with this association. They have an actual vault somewhere in Utah, I believe. I don't know what kind of security they have there. I've never been able to visit it because I'm on bail conditions.
It's probably pretty intense.
But, there's probably at least one security guard there or something like that.
There's also just safety deposit companies. There was one in California a few years ago that was raided by the FBI.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a place where you can put your money that would make it safe without having to support the devil.
Well,
yeah, with the crypto, you could have like your information in a safety deposit box. Yeah, I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with a quote-unquote bank for crypto, but it's just it wouldn't be my choice because I think it defeats the point of crypto.
So, anyway,
I think it's a great idea to store your money in a deflationary hedge against inflation, but there's also room for inflation in the world, too, and monies need to compete to see which works best. Banks are places that you keep money. Yes, the banks that we have now rule the world, but the business model itself is viable. Just because lots of radio is terrible doesn't mean that radio is bad.
Well, the model used to be viable because it used to be risky. You couldn't just transfer all your money with you while traveling from, England to France or to Italy or wherever. It was risky. You could be robbed and then you lose all your money. So banks certainly served a role back then where you could deposit it in England and then you had a sheet of paper that you could use to withdraw it once you got to Italy, or you could use it once you got to Italy. Now, with the advent of technology and the internet and cryptocurrency and just digital money handling in general, we don't need those third parties to guarantee our money.
But plus, this isn't viable. The proof is in the pudding. This system is, they can give out loans endlessly. They can loan out money that they don't even have. I mean, that is like financially unsound. So how anyone could call that viable, I don't agree. But there may be ways to do it viably. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
USA News Update. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is out of the hospital. He was released today after being treated for a concussion and minor rib fracture. McConnell tripped and fell last week during a private dinner at a Washington, D.C. hotel. The 81-year-old will now go through physical therapy at an inpatient rehab facility before he returns home. Banks aren't getting bailed out. That's the promise from the White House. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says U.S. taxpayers are not on the hook.
The funds are from fees on banks and not taxpayers, so this is very different than what we saw in 2008.
President Biden said investors of SVB won't be protected and the management of that bank will be fired. A bridge that connects Mexico to Texas is back open after more than 1,000 migrants rushed it. The mostly Venezuelan migrants stormed the bridge on the border with El Paso after hearing that the border may be open for express asylum. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
I know I need to pay attention to my health, but I just can't seem to find the time. Between rushing to work and taking care of the kids, there's not much time left over for me. So I decided to start small by eating more fruits and vegetables and being more active. And then I got the family to make some changes too. We started by keeping a bowl of fresh fruit on the counter, and I limit the amount of sweet snacks I keep in the house. I've also found some creative ways to add more vegetables to our meals. We're taking more walks, and on the weekends, we head down to the pool at the rec center. It doesn't happen every day, but it does happen. You don't have to change your entire life to be healthier. Just make some simple changes and include your family. You'll see how easy and fun it can be.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard, and when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Is Free Talk Live. Phones are open here, and you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. We're talking about the bank contagion, the crashes that maybe have just begun. It was Silicon Valley Bank that kicked it off last week as the second largest bank in U.S. history to go down. And this was after, I think it was Washington Mutual, if I recall correctly. That's what the captain said because he used to live out there. That they were the big one. They were the one that went down in like 2008 or somewhere in that time frame. So this is not quite as large, but pretty close. This was like $200 billion, and Washington Mutual was $300 billion.
And that makes sense because Washington also has like Silicon Valley stuff.
Yeah, that's true. It does. So here tonight it is Ian.
It's Bonnie.
And Arya.
Also joining us, so we got Mark Edge on the line here. Mark, you had some more comments. Go ahead.
Well, what I actually called in about, because, I've been studying the story that you're talking about with the Silicon Valley Bank and the way the federal government's going after cryptocurrency, and, like, they don't care who gets hurt in the process. Mm-hmm. They're going to the banks, those that rule us, they will destroy whatever they need to destroy in order to eradicate this problem.
Yeah.
We are now in the
I think you're
then
doing
they fight you.
I think you're doing that clicking thing with your glasses.
Thank you. So, but actually what I wanted to talk about is I was looking at these statistics on movers to Florida because, this is where I've spent the last couple of months, and I've just seen a bunch of people moving, probably for the great weather, the low property taxes, and the COVID freedom. But then I saw that you can own a piranha in New Hampshire. So I realized that, Florida's going to just see a dead stop in this immigration. And what I was wondering is,
what is
what's
that
the best place for what's the best place for somebody who wants to run for New Hampshire House so they can make sure the piranha freedom stays at the heart of New Hampshire? What's the best place for them to move?
Are you asking which town they should move in New Hampshire?
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know.
I think
think
that a lot of people move to New Hampshire. Well, at least it does.
Not really. I mean, if you want to run as a Democrat in a Democrat town, you can run that way. If you want to run as a Republican in a Republican town, run that way.
Well, let me. I don't think it quite works that way.
That's how the Free Staters are getting elected.
I think even if I
in 2006, a few Free Staters managed to get elected as Democrats. How many Free Staters are elected as Democrats today?
Like, I don't think that it'd be possible to get elected as a Democrat in Keene because it's like they know who you are.
I'm about to try, and I have a good reason to be joining, to be allying myself with the Democrats right now.
Maybe if you go out and talk to them and explain that, yeah, I could see that. But if you just try to sneak in. I don't think, I don't think I could, and no, Ian couldn't.
Yeah, the problem that Florida's got is the movers there are conservatives. So the people that are moving to Florida are people that want to live in a conservative state.
They love the cop laws.
They love the police, and that's
a fan of trans people.
And so that's what's happening there. Of course, a lot of conservatives are moving to Texas. A lot of the lefties are moving out to California and New York and places like that, and the libertarians are moving to New Hampshire. So if you're a libertarian, you really shouldn't be moving to Florida unless you aren't really a libertarian. You want to be a conservative.
I don't know what the piranha thing meant, though. Is that a new law?
No. It's apparently piranha freedom's been alive and well in New Hampshire for some time.
All right. Good to know. Any other comments?
Why would it be illegal to own one? Like, as long as you have it in its own tank and you don't have kids sticking their hands in it.
Thanks for asking. I'll go right ahead and tell you.
Okay.
So, Florida is chucked full of invasive species. Boa constrictors, crocodiles, iguanas. I mean, iguanas are running free. When I was a kid, we didn't have them because they're an invasive species because people get tired of them in their fish tanks. And they're like, oh, well, you can go away. Or they escape or whatever the situation is. Oscar fish is another good example. They're predatory fish. And they're all
they were
in
kind
the
of
Everglades.
Just stuck on the walls of a fish tank. They're predatory?
That's a placostomus.
Oh.
No, these are Oscars. These
so
are,
basically the prohibitions on owning things in Florida didn't stop people from bringing them there.
They did not, but and I don't think that they'll necessarily stop people from, I don't know, smuggling piranhas from New Hampshire down to Florida. And then once they get out in the Everglades, then God knows, we're going to have a few rednecks get eaten alive, or maybe the skunk ape. I'm not entirely sure. But
we don't seem to have a piranha problem in New Hampshire.
Yeah, it'll make for a good Florida man story if that ever happens.
Well, you can't get to have a. This is the difference, though, Aria. You can have a piranha problem in Florida. You cannot have a piranha problem in New Hampshire. It is simply impossible to have a piranha problem.
Well,
now,
consider me unconcerned.
A zebra mussel problem, you've got that all over the place in New Hampshire.
We got what kind of problem?
Zebra mussels.
What the hell does that mean?
I thought it was like zebra fish or those kinds with spiny backs.
Oh, it sounds like a fish. Okay.
No, it's a bivalve that lives in the lakes. There's also several
life, I guess I should have said.
Yeah.
Are they like not from here and somebody put them here?
Well, I couldn't tell you what the specifics are in each invasive species, but they tend to move from one side of the country to the other, or they've been brought in to control another pest, or there's all kinds of stories of sometimes they're just pets, but I doubt that's true when it comes to zebra mussels.
Well, the best one I know
is wasps.
Yeah, the best one I know isn't even an animal; it's a plant. You know, I'm from Mississippi, where they had severe erosion problems. They were like, "Hey, let's bring over this Chinese plant called kudzu, and that will help fix the erosion." And now Mississippi is like 84% just kudzu.
It's like that now.
Covered in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kudzu was the example of where let's bring in this crop. And actually, sometimes animals will eat kudzu, too. There was good reasons to try kudzu. And boy, was it a failure. It's the entire South. It's not just Mississippi. I mean, North Florida all the way up to, somewhere into, Tennessee area. It's terrible.
All right, man. Anything else?
I'm just curious. Since no reasonable person could run as a Democrat in the state of New Hampshire who has moved for the Free State Project.
I don't see why not. I mean, there's other people who have done that. I've run as a Democrat.
Yeah, are you calling me unreasonable?
You're not going, I'm going to guess that neither of you are going to win. I'm going to guess that neither of you are going to be welcomed by the Democratic Party. You have not provided me with anybody who has won as a Democrat who you would call a libertarian free stater in the last 10 years.
It's not an easy party to infiltrate, that is for sure. I think that there
That's
are free staters
sure.
who are working on that.
I don't see why it's such a big deal, though.
Check back in a few years, because I'm not welcome among the Republicans, Mark, and they've made that abundantly clear.
Well, here's why you bother, because it's important to infiltrate both parties. I mean, we have enough libertarians here to where we can start doing this more effectively with the Democrats, and that will really frustrate the hell out of them. They're already frustrated, as you can see if you've been watching the NBC Boston documentary series at NBCBoston.com/freestate. What's that, Bonnie?
Hope Damon, the Democratic representative that called us an invasion of species at the anti-free state rally in Keene last night, she said some free staters in the House are Democrats.
Well, they may very well be. I don't know, but I have yet to find anybody who says that they can that they are like that. This is a Democrat who is also a free stater, who's also a good libertarian.
It would be a bad idea
to say
we're a free stater.
There are certainly some turncoat libertarians that have been in the House as Democrats, but their voting record is not real good as rated by the NHLA. I would just go ahead.
I'll prove your statement wrong tomorrow as soon as I switch my registration to the Democratic Party. And then
well, how's that going
to
prove I'm wrong?
Well, there's no Democrat who's a good libertarian.
Ah, okay, gotcha. There are definitely
who's
Democrats.
In the State House.
Yeah, okay, in the State House. I gotcha on that.
Well, there aren't very many free staters in general who are good libertarians.
I support you thoroughly in your goals, in whatever you're going to do.
Thanks, Mark.
But whatever goes on in Keene is a sideshow compared to what's actually happening in politics in New Hampshire.
I don't think it has anything to do with Keene, but I do think
I guess you don't have an answer to my question.
What was the question?
Where is a good place to move? Because it certainly isn't Keene to run
move,
as a Democrat.
People should not move to places just specifically to run for office, in my opinion. You should move somewhere where you can get work. You should move somewhere you think is beautiful. You should move somewhere you like the community. And then, as a tertiary consideration, maybe consider the political situation.
I think Hooksett is a good place for a free state to run for president, or not president, representative, because we had Gerhard and Michael Yakubovich, and
yeah,
those
are
pretty much... Oh, but if you think as a Democrat, I don't know.
No, I'm not.
What are you asking?
No libertarian will ever get elected as a Democrat.
Well, that's already been proven false.
Okay, well, let's give that a shot in a few years, Mark, because I won't be able to run while facing a federal sentence.
I'm sorry for making... I will bet you $1,000 that no libertarian is elected in the next two election cycles as a Democrat in the state of New Hampshire.
I won't be able.
How's
I almost
that?
Certainly won't be able to run within the next two election cycles.
Well, even if it's not Aria, I think that a Democrat libertarian could get elected. The only problem is Mark seems to be thinking that all libertarians are like right wing, and I don't think that. It's just that we don't have any here because we're not good at attracting them here, because we have people like Jeremy Kaufman on the internet like, look at this racist thing I think, look at this homophobic thing I think, and I represent the free staters. So that's why.
Well,
there are plenty of left wing libertarians.
I don't think that libertarians are conservative. What I think is that the Democrats in the state of New Hampshire think that libertarians are a better match for Republicans than they are for Democrats, and the Democrats are vigilantly protecting their party.
Absolutely.
And I think that Warner finds the easiest path, and that one should take the easiest path to achieve what they want to get. And
yes,
I think,
Mark,
that if what you
well,
if you want to
a trans person,
project,
yeah, you're overlooking everything Bonnie just said. You're just discarding that, right? Yes, if you're a straight white dude here in New Hampshire, you're going to fit in better with the Republicans, and you're going to be more successful as a free stater running as Republicans. But if you're a trans person, if you're a woman, if you're any sort of minority, that same exact thing will be true, but for the Democrats. And we just don't have that many LGBTQ people and minorities because of people like Jeremy Kaufman out there on Twitter tweeting racist and homophobic things that turn LGBTQ people and minorities away from libertarianism.
I must not see all this stuff. I think that Jeremy Kaufman certainly has a big mouth, but, so do I.
I'm super
and
vague
so
about
Ian.
It, but it's out there. I can send you every example I have. It's just like, I don't understand why. But for some reason, he's hell-bent on making everybody know that he prefers white people, prefers to live around white people, and thinks that black people are dangerous.
Mark is correct in that the Democrats are definitely more vigilant. They are very, you know, aware and wary of free staters coming into their party. But if enough of them do, then there's very little that they can do about it. I remember years ago, there were a couple of free staters here in Keene that had gone to the local Democrat meeting back when they had them in person. Apparently, they're all online these days, post-COVID, of course.
Yeah, I've got to look into that. I'm going
to
do it.
But anyway, they tried to go to a meeting, and some goon was at the door, and since he didn't recognize them, he wouldn't let them in. He suspected that they might be free staters. This was more than a decade ago at this point. But ultimately, after bringing it to the attention of the Democratic Party, they were allowed to attend the public meetings. Unfortunately, both of them ended. One of them actually ended up turning socialist and leaving, so good riddance to him. And the other just ended up leaving for whatever reasons and went back to California. So I don't think either of them ever had a chance to run for office. But, if enough freedom-loving people infiltrate the Democratic Party, there's very little they can do about it. Thank you, Mark, for the call tonight. I think we're going to have you in here as a host tomorrow night, so I'm sure we can pick this up at that time. But I appreciate you being on.
I looked up Oscars, and they're really pretty.
It's all about the numbers, okay? And so, we've got enough people here in New Hampshire. There's, I think, Bonnie, you said you were mover 5,000-something?
Yeah, like 5,010 or something.
Okay, so that's at least 5,000 people who've moved here. Now there's
that
probably...
That was 2021.
Yeah, right. And we know there was, 600-something that moved last year?
And a record number the year before.
1,000 or 1,100, I think, in 2021.
So we're at like 7,000-something movers.
So, yeah, maybe that's I would say, a safe estimate. Let's say we've lost a couple thousand because some people, they leave. There's something else going on in their life, and they got a sick family member, or they just are homesick, whatever. They end up leaving. And so let's just say 2,000 people have left, 7,000 people have moved. So, but then there's also, probably a few thousand that have moved that never said they moved. Like,
or their kids, because they count kids. So, like,
yeah,
some might be
kids.
Yeah, like the 608 number from last year. I think it was 608 or 680.
Okay. Includes kids.
Includes, like, babies and children.
Okay. Well, they're going to grow up and hopefully become libertarian, but I don't know if I would count them. Because not always. They don't always become libertarian.
Exactly.
Sometimes their parents end up...
It's not fair to just count them as a libertarian because their parents are...
Sometimes the kids end up communists, when their parents are libertarian, unfortunately.
I mean, and every kid goes to that rebellious phase, right, where they're not going to be like their parents, like between the ages of 12 to 16, maybe 17, and eventually they'll come back to their roots. Not every kid. I don't think Ovens O'Brien was ever a rebellious socialist or whatever, but many people do intentionally go against whatever their parents believed, and then they do ultimately come back to that.
Sometimes. It just depends. So,
Maria Obama has been smoking in public.
You've got thousands of people who have moved here as part of the Free State Project, or not as part of the Free State Project. Aria, I don't believe you ever signed with the Free State Project, correct?
I did not. And the NBC Boston documentary, people called me today. They're like, hey, look, we rewatched some of your interviews, and you said in there that you're not actually affiliated with the Free State Project, but in the episode that released today when I spoke, it had me listed there as a Free State Project member.
What did you say to them?
They want to know if it bothered me, first of all. Well, first they want to know if it was truly accurate, because if it wasn't accurate, then they would go in and change it. I was like, well, I don't want you to do that. It depends on what you mean by free state, whether or not I'm a member of the free state. And I would suggest that, yes, in this context, and there's no harm anyway. I don't mind being affiliated with the free state. I'm just... not.
I've been mislabeled plenty of times. They reached out to me similarly as well. You're referring to the NBC Boston documentary series that has been going on for some weeks now. This was episode 10 of 11. So the final one is coming up next Monday. And I believe, Aria, you're going to be on a live watch party for this episode that came out today, this Friday.
That's correct.
In Boston at the NBC studios. So they reached out to me as well, and they said, we've heard that you're not a Free State Project participant. That's the term that's officially used, but they're using member in their documentary. And I said, well, it's true that I did resign my participation in the Free State Project in 2016. However, I don't really care if you list me as a member because I do support the Free State Project.
Yeah.
I do give money to their events. For instance, we bought tickets to the Liberty Forum, and we bought tickets to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and last year Goldback, which I was helping sponsor the Liberty Forum. So I've sponsored their events, even though Free Talk Live is not a sponsor of their events. We still support what they do. So
absolutely. I love the Free State Project, and I love the idea of moving libertarians to here in New Hampshire.
I think Bonnie is the only one in the studio who's an actual participant of the Free State Project.
Yeah, I signed it.
So a Captain Kickass, who's a regular co-host here, also not a Free State Project signer.
Joa didn't sign it.
Yes, yeah, so there's a lot of people that we know, at least, that did not sign up. So where that actual mover number is, I don't know. So I say all that just to go back around to what Mark was saying about, oh, well, we don't have the ability to you know, run candidates as Democrats. It's like, well, it's certainly true that the Free Staters have focused on the Republican Party to start, and that's because the Republican Party is weak. The Republican Party is pathetically weak in New Hampshire.
That's also true.
It's aged. It is elderly.
And a lot of the things that they claim to be about, mm-hmm. they're not really about, but a libertarian really does believe in and could run on, like, lowering taxes.
Sure.
And then get voted in for that. There's just, like, fewer things like that with the Democrats, but there are some.
You just have to couch your beliefs in terms that, that kind of ring with the Democrats, basically.
And that's easy to do.
Yeah.
I think Mark was going to say that, you know, I won an election as a Republican or whatever. He started to say that before we moved on to a different topic, but that's not accurate, first of all. I mean, he was probably going to say primary. I did win a primary.
That's right.
As a Republican, but it was uncontested.
Right. And except for a write-in.
Yeah, I got surprisingly good results, amazingly good results. And even in the general, I received something like 20 to 25% of the vote. If you take out the 7,000 that went in Westmoreland that didn't actually exist, I think it was about 25%. And that's really, really good for a trans-Satanist anarchist. But if I had been running as a Democrat, I'm confident. Maybe not as sheriff, because they're the Democratic candidate they run is the standing sheriff.
Mm-hmm.
But if I ran for state rep or something as a Democrat, I'm confident I would win.
The trick would be to get through the primary, of course, if they right. primary you. Now, I will say this about the Democrats. We know how weak the Republicans are, but we don't know how weak the Democrats are. We know they're paranoid. We know they're always on the lookout for Free Staters and libertarians infiltrating them. They got crazy about it last year during the election because word got out that some Free Staters were running in Manchester. A couple that we know, Mo and Rebecca Kinn, who are very well-known activists, they got identified as Free Staters, and the Democrats ran a campaign against them to identify them as Free Staters, and they lost.
I hope something doesn't come out before Arias. Or I guess to run, that's like the masks. Because that's, I mean, maybe you would just wear a mask to get along with them, but
I would not
be able to just wear a mask. Because that's something that was like,
I'm not putting
nobody
my health
could,
in jeopardy.
No one could, you know, get past that, you know.
And it's true that I don't necessarily have, I may not win, you know, I bet I would win.
You have a chance.
Right. But that's because it pays, like, Mo and Rebecca, they don't have the advantage that I, as a trans person, have with the Democrats. And let's just be honest here. If I go into the party and they shun me,
it's going to look real bad for them.
Yeah, there's no recovering from that.
Right.
All I have to do is point at them and say, you're being transphobic.
Boom.
And the same would be true of, you know, black people or openly gay people or any other minority showing up to the Democrats. They can reject Jeremy Kaufman. They can reject Mo. These people.
That's who should totally run for, join the Democrats in New Hampshire as Free Staters, people like that.
Another thing I want to bring up is...
you got the cards playing.
Yep.
We may not have as many, we have fewer similarities with the Democrats, I think, as far as the platforms, because we have, like, no real similarities with the people who are actually, like, representatives that are just Republicans, like, none, because they are not libertarian at all,
nope.
But the things that they proclaim to be about, that's what we have similarities with. But the thing is, more people need to just get out there and talk to Democrats. Like, I say it a lot, but I haven't, like, went out and done it because I just, like, don't leave my house. But whenever I went to Go Hold Science or Matthew Santanastasso, I've said this a million times.
He was a Republican.
But
Free Stater, libertarian.
It was so easy to find things to talk about with the old ladies that were crazy Democrats around me, where they were, like, starting to think, like, wow, okay, you're holding a sign for this Republican we're supposed to hate, but, like, you like drag shows, too?
Mm-hmm.
We went to the one at the Colonial.
Okay, nice.
And, I said something, I got in a fight with this man from the inside of the voting place,
mm-hmm.
and whenever he left, I told this lady next to me who, like, came to, like, kind of ask me if I was all right, I was like, I'm not just gonna take his answer just because he's just, like, a white old man, he just expects me to take his answer, and she was like, that's right.
Yeah, smash the patriarchy.
But it was also just the truth.
I mean, it's famous like that, like, I agree with so much of the Democrats' ideas, at least in principle, mm-hmm. the gist of them, the basic ideas behind them.
A lot of them just want to help people.
Yeah, I just disagree with the methods for achieving those goals.
Right, and this is how getting involved in the Democratic Party and in the leftist movements and such is how you end up building bridges with these folks. For instance, there was a bill to abolish the war on drugs here in New Hampshire. It was put forward by, again, Matt Santanastasso, who's a Free Stater Republican rep, but it was a straight-up, you know, as pro-freedom bill as you could possibly get. It would just literally strike the entirety of the drug prohibition statute. Just
sounds like that.
Delete it and replace it with nothing.
Awesome.
And 70 people voted in favor of it on the state house floor after a short discussion. 35 of them were Democrats. Republicans. So you got yourself a coalition there between those sides. And that's how you come together on the issues that you agree with. If you run as a Democrat, you run where you take the basic concepts of what these people want, like they want to help old people, they want to help sick people, they want to help poor people, right? Like that's pretty common among the Democrats. It's just that they think it's okay to do it with a monopoly on violence. And that's the thing they're missing. They are against corporations. We're against corporations.
Yep.
The thing they're missing is that the government is a corporation. The government is a monopoly corporation, so it's like the worst kind of corporation. So we can help some of them see these things. Others will never see it. They're going to die, and they're going to be a stick in the mud. And that's true of the Republicans as well. In fact, another bill that came up last week was a bill to end prohibition of DMT, dimethyltryptamine, which is a fast-acting psychedelic substance. That's pretty amazing. And that got 97 votes in favor. Now, unfortunately, it didn't get a roll call, so we don't know who voted which way on that particular bill, but
which is crazy.
26% of the state house voted to end prohibition on DMT. And who spoke in favor of it? Two Republicans, one Democrat did. They were all under the age of, like, you know, 35, so.
Did that Jonah Wheeler guy?
Jonah the Democrat, yeah. Black guy who's in the state house. And, you know, he's a lefty just social justice activist, but he's with us on the war on drugs.
Yep.
He's really cool.
Hey, seems like a cool guy. There's more coming up here in moments. The number 603-283-6160. It's all about the numbers. The Free Staters are doing a great job taking over the Republicans, and we can do just as well. It'll take a little longer, but we can do it to the Democrats, and it will drive them screaming, the worst of the worst, from this state and into the arms of New York and Massachusetts, where they truly belong. More coming up.
Do you ever get the feeling that the world is being held together with duct tape? Every day we're thrown some new meaningless drama in the fake news to distract us from the reality we're all about to face. Between the government trying to print their way out of debt, military conflicts, the disintegration of our most trusted institutions, and a looming food shortage, preparedness is no longer a choice. It's a necessity. You can trust My Patriot Supply. Our emergency food kits come packed with tasty meals, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit for each person in your family. Self-reliance is the only alternative to government food lines. Time is running out. Become ungovernable. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and save on dozens of different emergency food kits while you can. These kits are in stock, ship fast, and arrive in unmarked boxes for your privacy. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com before the next crisis strikes. MyPatriotSupply.com.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.